This evening we're going to talk about a first novel written by a girl who was 16 at the time. Susan Hinton is the girl's name. The book is The Outsiders, published by Viking. And we'll return to Miss Hinton in just a moment.
This is BookBeat, each week introducing you to leading authors and critics. This program is made possible with the cooperation of the National Book Committee and the American Booksellers Association. Your host is Robert Cromie, book editor of the Chicago Tribune and a contributing editor to Book World of the Chicago Tribune and the Washington Post.
Susan, your book, of course, concerns, well, I can't say gang warfare because they aren't really gangs and it isn't gang warfare, but it concerns high school kids in, I would presume, Tulsa, since that's where you're from, and the lack of understanding between the kids with the sports cars and the kids from, let's say, the wrong side of the tracks. Is that a fair summary, just a very brief summary?
That's right, except it's not just in Tulsa, because I've gotten letters from kids all over the country.
They say, no, but what I mean is your particular book was written, of course, from your Tulsa background.
Yeah, social class warfare, things like that.
What gave you the idea?
Well, I knew a lot of these boys that were supposedly, you know, hoods, and they call them greasers in our town.
Although they aren't Mexicans.
No.
Which, of course, is a nasty name for Mexicans in some areas.
I know. It's just a general term applied to, you know, if you're in the wrong side of town and you wear the hair that comes from the hair grease, looking your hair back, and, you know, they don't have very good clothes. Well, I knew a lot of these boys, and they seemed, you know, they were real nice to me, and they were, maybe some of them weren't so smart, but they were as nice as they knew how to be. And they were just adjusting to their neighborhood standards, you know, which was slick back hair and leather jackets and everything. And I couldn't see where they were any worse than the boys who adjusted to the neighborhood standards of beetle haircuts and Madras shirts and things like that. And one friend of mine was beaten up while he's walking home from school one day because these other supposedly higher class boys didn't like the way he's combing his hair. And it made me very mad, so I rushed home and started pounding on my typewriter. And I started with this story about a boy who was walking home from the movies and was beaten up. And
that's Johnny.
Pony Boy, when he's walking home from the movies in the very first couple of pages.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. But Johnny was badly beaten up.
Yeah.
Pony Boy's, where'd you get the names, Pony Boy and Soda Pop?
Well, I don't know. I must have got them out of my head. There was a cowboy in town named Soda. I didn't know him, but I thought the name was unusual. I would just start a kid's names being Tom, Dick, and Harry all the time. So, and they seemed to fit the characters after the book was through.
Well, now, this is, and I presume you intended it for this. It's both a very interesting story, not just for teenagers, I'm sure, because many adults could not only profit by it, but have fun reading it. But it's not only an interesting story, it's also a plea for racial, not racial, but for tolerance among people who just detest each other because they don't understand each other.
That's true. I have friends, you know, on both sides of this social class thing, and it made me feel real bad. You know, they didn't like each other or something like that, and these poor kids couldn't walk down the street with all these other kids combined, greaser, you know, screaming at them, which, you know, doesn't make anybody feel very good. And but I couldn't make the other side, which I call socias, that's what they're called in our town, I couldn't make them all villains either, because I could see what, you know, they had too much money and they had too much time and they didn't have any control at all. I could see that what that was doing to them, that they might be basically a nice person too. And so I couldn't make them villains either, so I couldn't make either side black or white.
Well, was it a question of going along? That is, maybe one in one group or the other might want to be friends, but his friends wouldn't let him. The pressure.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I had one friend of mine move to another school. He was a greaser at the school he went to. He moved to another school, and he got his hair cut and combed it down, and instantly he's a soch, you know, so there's not that much of a difference. Which I thought, you know, was real funny. But if he'd stayed at the school he was at, he was automatically marked greaser. He had two brothers who'd gone on there before him who were greasers, and he wouldn't have had a chance. But, you know, moved to another school, and he had it made.
What does soch stand for?
Well, it's abbreviation for social. It's just something, I don't know where it started. It was even when I was in junior high. You know, the kids that, I don't know, the in crowd, they were called the socials, and it gradually got shortened to soch.
Well, it's not a sweetness and light story, because you have one boy killed in it, several badly beaten up, and one who, of course, dies after doing something very heroic. I don't want to give away your plot. But what kind of reaction have you had?
Well, the kids love it. I've gotten letters from kids, a couple of them, from girls who think I'm a boy since I did sign it. S.E. Hinton, and say they were madly in love with me, you know, which is really pathetic. I feel, you know, I hate to write them back saying I'm a girl because I feel awful. But I've gotten letters from guys, too, think I'm a boy, and say, you know, was this true? Did this happen? And can I have Pony Boy and Daryl's and Soda's address so I can write to them and everything? And kids really do like it. They think it's very
real.
You
think it's converted any?
Yeah, I know it's converted some because I've had kids write and tell me, you know, it's changed my outlook about them. And I had one girl in Tulsa call me and say that, you know, she started making friends with these greasers since she'd read the book, and she found out what I found out was true, that if you're their friend, they're very loyal and trustworthy, and they're a lot easier to get to know than the other side, the socias, because they're always, I don't know, they kind of wear masks. They're always trying to be somebody they're not, and you can know them for years and not really know what kind of a person they are.
You're talking about the socias now, the socias. The kids with the sports cars and the wealthy parents, possibly.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you had a nice scene in the drive-in movie, Dallas, who was the kid with the police record, and Johnny, the one who was almost killed when he was beaten up and was, of course, consequently very nervous, and then Pony Boy, and this was Pony Boy's real name, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
His father had christened him that.
Yes.
But Dallas makes insulting remarks to the two girls in front of him, one of whom I assume was you, and Sherry.
Everybody assumes I'm Cherry Valance in that book, but I'm not. That doesn't know me very well. But the people who know me real well say, you're Pony Boy, which is basically true, because except for his being a boy, and I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
But and people who know me know it's Pony Boy, but people who don't assume that I'm Cherry Valance in the book.
Well, except that you did make Cherry Valance and Pony Boy a very similar character.
Uh-huh. That's true, except I was Cherry Valance was a soch and a cheerleader and all that, and I never did that. I was a tomboy until I was about 16, just a very, very, very tomboyish person. I wore blue jeans and all this kind of thing and played football, and all my close friends are boys, which is one of the reasons I wrote from a boy's viewpoint. It's easier for me. And since all my close friends are boys, most of the characters in the book are boys. I have a hard time writing about girls or from a girl viewpoint.
Why did you use initials instead of your name, by the way?
Well, because it is written from a boy's viewpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, if a boy picked it up and looked at it, saw a girl written it, they'd think, well, she don't know anything about this, you know. What could a girl know? And I'm afraid I did know, but I didn't think anybody believed me. But they did when they assumed I was a boy.
Did you witness any of these fights?
I saw one, which was pretty. It was the fight. They'd went over to the drive-in after they'd got through with the drugstore at the very first of the book, and the fight with the guy at the switchblade and the guy. Well, what really happened? There was a gun, and one guy got his ear bitten off, and everything. But I didn't put that all down because, you know, they'd know who it was. So, I saw a couple of the fights. There was one supposed to be a big social grease rumble, and the socials didn't show up. Which is funny, as here was all these greasers milling around, you know, and no socials showed up.
They showed up in your book.
Yeah.
Because there's a big rumble in your book.
Yeah.
Did you have help with the book on technical things about fights, for instance?
Oh, not really, because
because a girl isn't supposed to know how to fight. You realize that, don't you?
Oh, I realize that. But when I was 15, I was a tomboy, and I was beating up my cousin, who's now about 6'3", so, I don't try that anymore. But I'd gotten into a couple of fist fights with him, so I knew what it felt like to be in a fist fight. And I don't know. I have empathy for people. You know, I can feel what they feel. And I guess that's why it came out sounding realistic as it did.
You like poetry?
Mm-hmm.
Because you quote a Robert Frost poem in here, Pony Boy does.
I particularly like that one. I thought it was just beautiful. I almost finished the book when I even read it. And then I went back through and put it in because I just loved it. And I thought, it fit the mood.
What's the line about gold now?
Nothing gold can stay. Nature's first green is gold. Her heart is hue to hold. Her early lease of flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf. So Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down to night. goes down today, nothing gold can stay. That's it.
We have a very, one of the great lines, it really moved me, was the one in which Johnny
mm-hmm.
writes a note to Ponyboy and says, stay gold, you know. It was a lovely line. That was a very nice note that he wrote. What about Gone with the Wind? How did you happen to hit on this as the book that the two would read together?
Well, I don't know. I think I just stuck it in there because I read it all the time. I think I've read it about 25 times.
That may be a world record.
Well, you know, I've got practically memorized it. It's just something when I don't have anything else to read in the house, I'll pick it up and start reading it again. And I guess I just put that in there.
What do you like about that so much?
I like the style. You know, I can't write from third person very well. I usually write from first. And she did third person so well. And the characters, well, maybe they were a little improbable, but they're very real in the book. But after you got to think about them, you know, the whole thing sounds kind of improbable, to say the least. And if it wasn't for the style, it'd be just another melodrama. All this old Ashley jazz. But really, she knew characters very well, and she had a good plot, and I just liked her style.
Well, Johnny liked the Southern gentleman because they were so self-possessed and polite, and it was a sad contrast between the people he was used to, you see.
Yes, but I don't know. After you get to know these boys, maybe it's just me from my viewpoint, but some of them seem like a little, you know, something really heroic. Like one boy, it was a friend of mine, he broke his leg in a motorcycle wreck the week before I had my autograph party in town. And he was a greaser, and he got to my autograph party in crutches, even though he wasn't supposed to be out of bed, and he couldn't buy a book or anything. He just wouldn't come, you know, and say hi. And I know it was a lot of effort for him, and his mother told me she didn't think he should be up, but he jumped around and everything, said he had to go so much, so she finally let him go. Now, you know, that's really a true friendship. And I don't know, they kind of, there's things in them that other people don't see. They just see, you know, the greased hair and the ragged clothes and everything, hoods, you know. And you got to know them, and they're not like that.
Well, you used that incident, although you changed it completely in your book, because you had Dallas getting out of the hospital bed where he shouldn't have been, to go to the Rumble. And you had to threaten the nurse.
How could I have used it if it happened at my autograph party after the book?
Could you, of course. How stupid of me. No, but you used
typical.
It in advance.
Because
you used it before it happened.
Because yeah. It was as typical as something they'd do.
Yeah. But Dallas had to borrow a switchblade and threaten the nurse to get out of the hospital and go to a Rumble.
It just sounded like something he'd do. I don't know where I got Dallas. All these people aren't exactly true to life in the book. There's personalities mixed and everything, and you know, you could never point to one of my friends and say, oh, he was Dallas or he was Two-Bit, which is funny. There must be universal characters, because I've had kids from different schools come up to me and say, oh, I know who Two-Bit Matthews was in your book. He was so-and-so, and he wasn't. I didn't even know him.
Yeah. Well, your main family, Ponyboy and Soda Pop and Derry.
Yeah.
A very interesting story, because he holds the family together, the 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Quit school and went to work so he could provide for his two brothers after his father and mother had been killed accidentally. Did you know a family like that?
Well, no, not really. This one boy I knew had two brothers, but his parents are alive, but I knew another boy who was staying with his older brother. But that's partly made up because, I don't know, I think kids would like the situation. I know they wouldn't want their parents dead or anything, but it was mainly a book about kids, and all the main characters are kids. There's rarely an adult in sight in the book. And to do that, you know, I had to get rid of the parents.
Well, your book is selling very well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Kids really are buying it, and it's gotten real good reviews.
Have you written any others or started any others?
Well, I'm trying to, but I haven't had enough time yet. You know, I'm going to school, and I have to come down and do television shows and things like that.
You're a sophomore now at the University of Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
And not majoring in literature.
I'm majoring in education right now with a minor in English, but last time I took a creative writing course, I made a D in it, which is just barely above passing.
How did you manage that?
I don't know. I really don't.
Was this in college?
No, this was in high school.
Oh, in high school. You made a D in creative writing course and then wrote a novel. Now, that should make somebody feel pretty silly, either you or your teacher, and I don't know which.
I hope she doesn't watch this show. I think she's mad enough about it already.
About the D or about your novel?
About everybody,
kidding her?
Saying, you know, that she, I got a D in creative writing. It's probably my fault, because sometimes I don't make very good grades just because I don't apply myself, I know. So I'm not saying it was the teacher's fault.
Have you had any reaction from teachers or from adults on the book?
All adults that's talked to me, you know, say that it's really great. I had one bad review. This adult said, kids are never going to believe this book.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't either.
But they do, because I haven't got any bad letters from kids. You know, they're all really good, and they're all saying, you know, I'm cracked up and I'm crying. And I've gotten a couple of, well, I've got one letter from an adult that was really crazy about it. And most adults seem to like it, too, because I didn't put the violence in for sensationalism, and I didn't make grown-ups out to be creeps, or you couldn't trust anybody or anything like that. I just, you know, I tried to be honest as I could.
Well, you don't really have too many grown-ups in the book.
No.
The doctor is a very nice man.
And the man that, the school teacher at the church that was caught on fire, you know.
Yeah, during the fire?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
And,
But the policemen are only incidental. You never really meet any of the policemen.
No,
so it's mostly, in matter of fact, the book is almost exclusively about kids with no adults in it, except obliquely or off stage.
Well, you know, I meant to do it that way. I just, you know, I wanted to tell what was going on just with the kids. And a lot of kids live kind of two lives, you know, the life they live with their parents, then when they're out of the house, you know, it's a completely different one. And I think a lot of parents would be surprised they could see their kids out of the house. Because a lot of these little polite, real good kids at home aren't so polite or real good out in the streets.
I hope it works the other way too, does it?
Well, sometimes, yes.
How about your mother? Would she have been surprised if she could have seen you when you were in high school?
Oh, yes. She was so surprised. She never thought I'd do anything. You know, she thought I just wrote. Well, that's something Susie likes to do, let her write. And I had to twist her arm to make her sit down and read it. And when she did, you know, she just hit the ceiling. She said, oh, where did you learn all this? What are the neighbors going to say? But she decided she liked it after she got over the initial shock. And then she says, oh, that was what you were carrying that knife around in your jeans for all the time.
Were you carrying a knife?
Well, I didn't use it.
Well, that's heartening. I'm glad to hear that.
No, I meant, well, I could make friends with it, with the greasers.
Wait, go ahead.
I could. Well, This one guy, I had the hardest time getting to know him, and I wanted to know him, but he's, you know, he's real quiet, and, you know, he's pretty greasy. Finally, you know, I brought the knife, and I said, look, you know, you want to see this knife I've got? You know, it's pretty good size. And he goes, oh, my old man's got one just like that, you know, and instantly we're friends, you know, so you kind of, you know, it's kind of an icebreaker.
That's the funniest use for a knife I ever heard, but it's logical.
Well, that's just what I used it for.
Tell me about your little sister. Hasn't she been with you on some of your television trips?
Oh, yes. Yeah, she went to New York with me. She's real cute. She's steady. I mean, she's not, I don't know, apt to be goofy like I am. She's steady. And we had a real nice time in New York. She got on one of the radio shows with me. And the man asked her, you know, what she liked about New York. And I guess he thought she was going to say Greenwich Village or something. She said, oh, I just love the people here. They're so nice. You know, back home we just think they're real stuck up and mean and everything, but they're real nice. And everybody in New York was just great to us. And she did real well in the radio show, too, except she kept nodding her head instead of answering.
That's a handicap. What kind of questions did you get on the radio show, by the way, from listeners? I assume you run one of those Q&A things.
Oh, no, it wasn't a call-in show.
Oh, no call-in.
I was on with a panel of a character analysts and a public relations man and a psychiatrist.
What did the psychiatrist say when she found out or he found out that you were carrying a knife?
Didn't
you mention it?
She didn't say anything. I don't think she mentioned it. I'm not supposed to be talking about it on the air.
It's a little late.
I know.
What about your boyfriend? I see you're wearing a ring.
Oh, he got this for me for Christmas. It's an opal ring. Well, he's kind of proud of me, but he keeps making sure I'm not going to get conceited about it. Because sometimes I give lectures, you know, and people come up to him and say, oh, she always is natural. And he says, oh, God, you should have seen her before she got conceited.
Sounds like a fine fellow.
Oh, he is. He's real sweet.
What's he do?
He goes to college too. He's a sophomore. He's a straight A student.
What are you?
You mean grade wise?
Yes, yes.
Well, a little bit, just about a couple of decimal points above average. I could do better, but I don't know.
Now, are you taking writing at Tulsa? Any courses?
This semester I've started a creative writing course.
How are you doing?
Well, I just went to first class Thursday, so I don't know.
Does the professor know that you've done a book?
I don't know. I didn't mention it. She might find out later.
Well, now, what about the new one? You said you're starting to work on a new book. What will it be about? I mean, just roughly. I don't want the plot, but another novel?
Yeah, and probably another kid book, because I don't think there's enough good teenage books out. They're always, I don't know, senior prom jazz, and the kids get sick of that, or else it's, I don't know, Tommy fixed up his jalopy and won the local drags and enriched his character and all this stuff. And they get tired of that. There's a trend toward realism now in teenage books, which I think is good. I don't mean dirty books. There's a difference between realistic and dirty, but you know, they won't believe all this fairy tale and romance stuff either. So it'll probably be another teenage book.
You mentioned drag races. Have you ridden on motorcycles?
Yes, I've ridden on motorcycles.
You ever drive one?
No. Huh. My mother thinks they're very dangerous.
Your mother's right.
They are. I wouldn't want to drive one. And they, you know, all my friends that ride motorcycles have had wrecks. But at one time, I was riding a motorcycle quite frequently as a passenger. And the cars are real big in town. They've got a drag strip out a little way from town, and everybody goes out there to the drags.
This is a legal drag strip.
It's a legal drag strip.
They don't do it on the highway.
Oh, yeah, they do it on the highway.
Oh,
but
they do.
Yes, but you're not supposed to. I never do. If it is a boy just risking his own life, I think, you know, well, he's got the right to risk his own life, but he's risking other people's life. And, you know, all my friends, I keep telling them, you know, you haven't got the right to play around with other people's lives, so drive slow. I don't know if they listen to me or not.
Well, let's hope they do. Well, Pony Boy and Johnny and the others, you have some, I think, very well-drawn characters. And it astonishes me that you could do it at 16. I'm delighted that you did.
Well, thank you. Well, characters are my strong point. Plot's my weakest point. But I just love people, and I just really love them. And like I said, I got empathy for people and how they feel. So I guess that's why my characters turn out so well.
Well, you feel sorry for people, obviously, who are trapped in something that they can't help.
Well, it's not exactly feeling sorry for them or pitying them, but, you know, it's compassion. I mean, you know, I want to help. You know, I don't want to say, poor little thing, pat them on the head.
No, I don't mean that, but I mean, you do have a feeling of grief about their entrapment, if that's what they have.
Yes, I've always been for the underdog. It's just, I guess, part of my nature.
What about reading? What do you read?
I read everything. Anything I can get my hands on, I read it.
Well, you haven't had any time if you've read Gone with the Wind 25 times.
Oh, yes, I read, I don't know, about 30 books a summer at least. And I read everything. I just finished an autobiography of, no, not autobiography, but a biography of Sir Richard Burton, which I thought he's fascinating. And I read some of Voltaire the other day, too. I read lots of stuff. I read the Jungle Books over again the other day, and they're real
Kipling.
Good. Yes,
yeah.
I just love those.
What about Saki? You ever read Saki?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you'd love Saki. You must get it. English writer who was killed in World War I. H.H. Monroe was his real name, but beautiful short stories. I think you'd like them, all with a twist at the end. He was a lovely writer. S-A-K-I.
Okay.
What do you plan for? Are you going to teach? You're taking education.
I'd like to teach because, you know, like I said, I really do love kids and I get along with them real well. And, you know, I like work with people more than anything, so I'd like to teach.
Or go into social work, conceivably.
Only thing, you have to take statistics in social work, and I'm terrible at math. I can't even add 2 and 2 half the time. There's something about math, I just don't understand it.
Well, a lot of people don't. What about your family situation. Your father was killed, or died, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And your mother works now.
Well, she works part-time. She works part-time. Sometimes a couple of days a week or something like that.
And you have one sister only?
Mm-hmm.
Your sister going to be a writer?
No, she's going to be a hairdresser.
A hairdresser?
Yeah, she's real good with hairdressers. I went to a beauty shop and tried to get my hair cut twice, and they still didn't get like I liked it. And I came home and I said, well, you know, you might as well, you know, cut it because you couldn't do any worse. And so she fixed it like I liked it.
Did she do this one, the one you have now? Looks very charming.
Thank you. And she, you know, she pins hair up. And she, you know, she's really done some beautiful jobs on lots of people's hair and pinning them up and everything. And she wants to be a hairdresser. She likes to sew and cook and things like that, which I don't. We're total opposites in that.
You don't cook?
I can't.
Does your boyfriend know this?
Yes, he does. He's very upset because he loves to eat.
Good for him.
No, he's told me I have to learn how to cook.
I think it's a reasonable request.
Well, I'm going to. Surely anybody can read a cookbook and cook.
I don't think that's necessarily true.
Well, you know, just follow directions. Maybe it'll turn out.
Yeah. Tell him I recommend that he eats out after. Do you have a date set for any wedding?
Oh, don't say this on the air. No, we're not. You know, we're not even. We're not engaged or anything.
What's the ring for?
Oh, it's just for a nice Christmas present.
Oh, I see.
If his parents watch his show, they'll just die. No, we're not.
We didn't mention his name.
Well, they'll know who he is.
Well, you've just taken them off the hook. You've said that you aren't engaged, so that's all right. Tell me, how'd you do on Girl Talk? You were on it, I know.
Oh, I did okay. Virginia Graham was real nice, and I was on there with Rose Francois. I think that was her name.
Well, that's the one you were on with the psychiatrist and the...
Yeah, well, I was on another radio show with a psychiatrist, too. There's two of them, and I was on with Lynn Turnaby that wrote I Passed as a Teenager.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was all right. I wasn't very nervous.
Did nobody throw you any curves?
No, I did okay in that show. Except Virginia Graham's telling me, you know, that I'll outgrow this buddy-buddy thing and have romantic interests.
Well, that was when you talked about being friends with the boys.
Yeah, you know, being just good friends with all these guys. But, you know, I had to tell her I have a romantic interest.
How many letters have you had, by the way? You said you had letters from all across the country?
Oh, I've had them from Massachusetts and a couple from California and Michigan, Wisconsin, New York, Baltimore, places like that.
How many altogether?
I don't know. I get a couple. It seems like maybe about three a week or something like that.
Well, I think it's a very encouraging thing that you would get this response from the teenagers.
Yeah, especially from kids, you know, about 14 years old, 15, and they don't usually sit down right.
Susan, we just got to the end. We've been talking with Susan Hinton, who wrote The Outsiders, although she used the name S.E. Hinton because it's written from a boy's viewpoint. The book is published by Viking. To me, it was a fascinating book. I read it right through. I'm Bob Cromie of the Chicago Tribune, and I want to thank you for watching us, and hope you're with us again next week. And Susan, it was very nice of you to come.